From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. She's played a porn star and a daring 50s housewife. She hunted Hannibal Lecter and was hunted by dinosaurs. Now, actress Julianne Moore plays a seeing woman in a sightless world in the new movie Blindness, directed by Fernando Meirelles. In the movie, a city is struck with an epidemic of blindness called white sickness. The victims are rounded up and thrown under quarantine in an abandoned insane asylum. Julianne Moore's character pretends to be blind when her husband loses his sight so she can go with him.
You can't be responsible for everyone. You need to get some sleep. Are you afraid to close your eyes?
No. Afraid to open them. Afraid I'll go blind in my sleep. I'm going to take a walk.
Blindness is based on the novel by José Saramago. And as Julianne Moore told me, the characters enter a world of complete isolation.
Everyone's belief that they're being taken to a hospital where they're going to be cared for. And when they arrive, they're basically in an institution with limited food and no clean water and no one to care for them and no linens. And it's basically sort of like a lockdown, which is a big, I think, a surprise to each and every one of the characters. And as the movie proceeds, it becomes clear to them that no one is coming, that no one is going to help them, and that the guards are just there to keep them in.
It was interesting to me that in this, filthy and crowded and ultimately very violent and depraved space, the moment when your character breaks down and cries mm-hmm. is when her husband asks her, "What time is it?"
Yeah.
And you say,
"I forgot to wind my watch," and she starts to cry. And it's in the book, too. That moment is in the book, and it's such a moving moment in the book. And I don't even feel like I do it justice. It's so amazing because that's the stuff that we grieve over. You know, it's really about a lack of control. You know, one thing that she does know in this place is the time. That to me is real tragedy. It's, those are the things that kind of move us. And, it's not, oh, Superman's going to pick up the subway train. It's not about that to me. It's about the little things, whether or not somebody manages to keep themselves together in a tragedy that way or wind their watch or whatever,
The tiny moments.
Mm-hmm.
When you're filming, how aware are you of what the ultimate look and sound even of the movie will be? I mean, in this case, it's very washed out, very mm-hmm. milky. Are you thinking about that as you're shooting?
Well, it's interesting because there are some things that you definitely have to think about. That blown out sort of milky quality, we were not aware of at all. I actually saw that when Fernando showed Mark and I some footage that had been cut together.
Mark Ruffalo,
yeah. And we were both like, whoa, we didn't know about the white stuff. But what's important for me to know about is how the camera is telling a story. And Fernando is eloquent with his camera. His shots are very, very emotional, the way they're framed. There's intention kind of in every shot. And for me, it's really helpful to see that. But the other stuff, the sound and the way a film is timed, for example, the way the colors are, that you don't see until much, much later.
Are those conversations you have with the director as you're going through, or are you really getting most of what you need from the screenplay itself?
I get it from the screenplay, and then I watch what they do with the camera. I need to know what I'm doing, and I need to know what the perspective is. I need to know what the proscenium is so that I can be within that, the story is told within that frame. So I want to know what that frame is. So those conversations I will have with the director, or I'll really, really pay attention to angles and sometimes ask to see a storyboard or shot list or that kind of stuff. But the other stuff, what happens afterwards with the editing and the mixing and the sound, that's it's a director's medium. So that's all their prerogative. That's all their business.
Do you ever have directors who say, "Don't worry about that. That's my part of this. You just act." Do they ever you're intruding too much?
No, not any good directors. Bad directors do.
You've
bad
had that happen?
Oh, yes.
Well, what do you do then?
You panic. it hasn't happened to me very often, but it has happened.
Gosh, I sure want to know who you're talking
about
right now.
I can't say. but then there are, but great directors tell you. you know, you're not just working with a director. It's not just a director and an actor. You're also, there's not camera, there's a DP there, there's a camera operator, there's the dolly grip, there's the focus puller, there's, you know, there's the boom operator. There are a million people working on that shot, and we all need to know what the shot is so that we can do our job.
And why is that helpful to you as an actor to know where that frame is?
It's a visual medium, you know. So I was working with an actor, a really great actor, who does a lot of theater work. And he was doing something, and I said, you know, I said, you know, the lens is over there, something's happening. And he said, what do you mean? I said, they can't see you. And and he was like, really? He goes, well, I thought that if I'm just acting, the camera's going to pick it up. I said, no, it's a proscenium device. I mean, you have to figure out what, if you're, you know, we're not, I think there's this misnomer about acting sometimes that we're just out there and we're like feeling stuff and the camera's going to pick up what we're feeling. You know, it's deliberate, and sometimes it's very physical, sometimes it's emotional and it happens on screen, whatever. But you have to have an awareness of where the story is being told.
You're still getting lots of what seem to me to be very meaty parts at 47. As you look forward, are there kinds of roles that interest you? Are there places that you want to go maybe that age will afford you that maybe you couldn't do before?
Yeah, age affords you everything in that way. I mean, life affords you everything because you, every stage in your career, there's a time to play a certain kind of role. I don't really think about what I want to do. I think because I have so little control over it. in a way, I sort of keep my focus a little bit short. So I really only know what I want to do by reading it. Like, I'll read something and I'll think, like, wow, that's really compelling. Wow, I want to do that.
Do you ever hear, and I hate to even think about this, but do you hear from, I don't know, an agent or a director, you know, you'd be great, but we need somebody younger?
No. Mm-mm. I haven't heard that, but I'm not playing the girl in the action movie either. You know, I think that's where you would encounter that. But, you know, also remember that the girls in the action movie are playing the girls in the action movie because that's where they are in their career. You know, I mean, there was a time when I did play the girlfriend or the whatever, or the where I am. I can feel when I read something and I feel like I'm too young for it too, or I'm too old for it. I actually think it ends up being more of a personal decision for me more than anything else.
Well, Julianne Moore, thanks very much.
Oh, thank you. Thanks.
Julianne Moore's new movie is called Blindness. There's more of my interview at npr.org, including lessons she learned working on a daytime soap.